Fortress Outlet in Seneca, off Highway 1 from Chick-fil-A.
You have cracks in your driveway, sidewalk, or settling pool decks? Why tear it out when you can lift it? Canty Foundation Specialists can raise concrete slabs back to its original position using our patented PolyLevel process. Call Canty today at 864-475-1671. Don't replace it, raise it. 475-1671 or visit us at cantyfoundationsc.com.
Let us bring your new Honda directly to you. Hendrick Honda Easily now offers direct on-site demos of your new Honda. Don't want to deal with traffic? Hendrick Honda Easy will bring your new Honda to your work, home, or church. Call today to schedule your personal on-site car buying experience from Hendrick Honda Easily. Call 864-855-1234 or visit ilovehendrickhondaeasily.com. Again, ilovehendrickhondaeasily.com. Experience a world-class difference at Hendrick Honda Easily.
Rely on EnviroMulch for your outdoor project. With all the rain we've had, they can help with rock crush and run along with 57 stone for your erosion, flooding driveway, and water pooling issues. Order online at EnviroMulchOnline.com.
Ready to start your journey to a healthier you? Let Gold's Gym help you reach your fitness goals today. Join Gold's Gym now through Sunday and pay no dues until March 25th. That's right. You can join now and pay later. There's never been a better time to start your journey toward a healthier, stronger you. Visit goldsgym.com/no-dues to learn more. Valid with select new memberships at participating locations only. Minimum commitment and enrollment fee may be required. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends this Sunday, March 10th.
When Doug and Denise Zirbal opened Your Pie in Clemson, they soon realized what a great opportunity they had to give back to the community they love. They started sponsoring benefits and fundraisers to help local food banks and charities. In doing so, Your Pie franchise recognized Your Pie Clemson with the 2018 Community Engagement Award for the highest financial and personal involvement in their community. It's nice to know when you visit Your Pie, you're helping your neighbors. Your Pie Clemson, helping your community one pie at a time.
Hi, I'm Dabo Sweeney. One of the things that makes me proudest about being the head coach at Clemson is participating in the most exciting 25 seconds of college football, running down the hill after rubbing Howard's Rock. The roar from the crowd is deafening. Even though Howard's Rock is one of Clemson's most prized possessions, most of the time it sits all alone. That's why we depend on Priority One Security's video surveillance to keep Howard's Rock safe and secure.
See us on the web at PriorityOneSecurity.com. That's Priority, the number one, Security.com.
If you're looking for the perfect Clemson gear, then look no further than the Tiger Sports Shop. You can be the ultimate Clemson fan from head to toe with the Tiger Sports Shop's vast selection of orange and purple apparel. Tiger Sports Shop provides everything Clemson for the Clemson fan. Are you looking for the Nike apparel that you see the Clemson players and coaches wearing on the sidelines? We are the exclusive provider of Nike sideline apparel. In Clemson, visit our stores at 1102 Tiger Boulevard or 364 College Avenue in Clemson. Go Tigers!
To the Red Rage, we're WCCP 105.5, The Roar. You want in, now's a good time, 654-7627. People always complain, you can't get in, you get in right now. Hey, Ramona, that baseball game last night, cold. I have no idea what temperature was there. I mean, honestly, You know, I had people write me say they just couldn't, they just, at some point they just couldn't take it anymore. I mean, look, the reason that game went like it did last night is it was just too friggin' cold to hit. I mean, it was just too cold to hit. I mean, baseball's not supposed to be playing those temperatures. I mean, it's not only the temperature, which just kept dropping, but it's the wind chill. And that was a real thing last night because it was windy. You know, it was, those conditions made for a brutal baseball viewing experience, I'm sure. But Clemson did get the victory, but just extreme cold. You know, it's funny, Ron. Every day it seems like the baseball team at the start of the year has to deal with the rain. Rain.
Right. All the time.
You know, and so finally it stops raining. And when it does, the floor drops out as far as the temperature and the wind.
That's true.
You know, you're thinking to yourself, man, it's finally sunny out without realizing that, oh, yeah, it's getting to 26 and the wind's like 40 miles an hour.
Right, right. Yeah. So you trade one for the other.
Now, it went down gradually. You know, it didn't just explode down. But it was, you know, by like 7 o'clock, it was 40 degrees. And it wasn't long after that you dropped into the high 30s. And then you had that, you know, 25 mile an hour wind or whatever it was. Does the ball doesn't pop off aluminum bats in that cold weather either. No. You, the one thing you knew about that game last night, there wasn't going to be a ton of scoring. Just too cold to hit. You want to get in 654-767. Clemson Notre Dame tonight, obviously a very big game. A Notre Dame team that's better than their record. John Mooney is a tremendous player. You know, Notre Dame does a lot of things with him. He plays the four and the five. He is your stretch four and your low block post player. And he's very effective facing the basket or with his back to the basket. He's a really good player. In fact, I sometimes think that Notre Dame gets in trouble when they go away from him. I thought in that game against Florida State, I thought that, you know, Mooney was killing Florida State. And then I thought they sort of went away from him a little bit. And ultimately, that's why they succumbed. I mean, Mooney is a really good player. And he is an extremely tough cover for Elijah Thomas. I almost wonder, you know, how that deal is going to work. If Mooney is more in that stretch four role, that's a real tough cover for Thomas. I mean, it's not just a tough cover for Thomas based on the fact he's going to be put in uncomfortable guarding positions and he's going to have to go get out on a shooter. But it's also a problem because that takes Elijah Thomas away from the basket as a post defender and as a shot changer and shot blocker. So that's the other dilemma. That's why I really don't like that matchup. You know, I think it's going to depend on how Mooney plays. I mean, if Mooney is playing with his back to the basket, then Thomas can guard him in there. But if Mooney is going to go out to the 3-point line and play more like a stretch four, then I'm not even sure you can have Thomas guard him out there. Now, the problem is if you went to, for example, if you went to, say, an Amir Sims on him out there, well, then they're going to post him up. That's the problem that Mooney creates. Mooney creates matchup problems because of the versatility of his skills. So I don't know there's an easy answer there. My obvious concern is, it's twofold on Elijah Thomas going up against Mooney and trying to guard Mooney. One would be it takes Thomas away from the basket, as I indicated, and it takes his shot chain, shot block presence away, and Clemson's rim protector away. The other is that if Thomas has to go out in uncomfortable guarding positions and Mooney hits that shot, then he's going to be able to put it on the floor too and go by him and pick up fouls on Thomas. I don't like the idea in my head of Thomas being 22 feet from the basket trying to cover Mooney. I don't like that. That worries me. I mean, this is a team that's a decent three-point shooting team. They have pretty good guard play. You know, Harvey, the kid's a pretty good player. Gibbs, a pretty good player. This team has been more competitive than you would think, given their record. They're another of these teams that, you know, had a major personnel loss at the start of the year into injury, and they've not been able to get over the top. That doesn't mean they don't compete. They compete. They're well coached. They compete. And they're going to do some things that potentially make life a little more difficult on Clemson. They're going to play more zone. They're going to try and control the pace of the game. They don't turn the ball over. So you're not going to get the benefit, at least normally, of live ball turnovers and runouts against them. You're not going to get much transition offense, which means you're going to have to execute well in the half court. And again, you get in this issue of Clemson's zone offense and the effectiveness or lack thereof of the zone offense. Now, Clemson's shooting the ball a little better of late, which will be important, but Clemson still lacks that sweet spot flash player. You know, again, I talked to Coach Brunell about that, and I asked him, you know, point blank, is that one of the problems you have going against zones? You don't have the ideal type of guy you would like to flash to that sweet spot, which, you know, might previously have been a guy like a Dante Grantham. And he said, absolutely. You know, that the best guy they have for that role is Amir Sims. And he indicated they've tried using Reed in that role as well. Now, the Reed thing didn't work against Syracuse that well because, you know, you can't put a 6'2 guy in there in that sweet spot against Syracuse's length. You might be able to against Notre Dame. You know, if Notre Dame is going to play more zone, you might be able to use Reed in that role against Notre Dame because they don't have the length and athletic ability, even if they are in that zone, that Syracuse did. And so you may be able to use Reed in that capacity if Notre Dame endeavors to play a lot of zone in the game. You know, I think it's a game that Clemson would like to get some tempo going. I think you'd like to be able to push it at Notre Dame a little. I don't think it's necessarily their strength. And furthermore, again, the first way to beat any zone, and if Notre Dame becomes primarily a zone team tonight, the first way to beat any zone is to beat it down the court. And I think Clemson's better when they're pushing the ball anyway. And I think you're starting to get some contributions from people. I mean, look, it's an enormous game. You know, I've stayed away from this must-win thing all year. And, you know, and as odd as it is to say, in a way, it's still not, because you still have all these other bubble teams that are also still losing. You know, every time somebody looks at Clemson, they look at them, I mean, here, we look at them in a vacuum. We say, oh, well, they're not playing very well. They didn't win this game. They didn't win this game. You don't look at the fact that other people who are in the same position you are facing the same struggles or perhaps even worse. And so you can't just look at it in a vacuum. Now, would I like Clemson's chances if they don't win this game? No, your chances dwindle now with every game you don't win. I still think it's this simple. I still think you win your last two and you're in. Now, are there scenarios out there in terms of upsets and conference tournaments that could change that and ultimately knock you off the bubble? Yes. Which is why you'd like to win an additional game. But in terms of where I think Clemson sits right now and the likelihood of making the NCAA tournament, I think it's still this simple. I think it's win these next two games, which starts with beating Notre Dame. You can't beat Syracuse until you beat Notre Dame. You have to beat Notre Dame first, then take care of business against Syracuse, and then I think you're in. Then I think you're in. Texas said, we're the best of the teams that suck. Great. Well, hey, look, you know, there are only 68 teams that make it, and there are over 300 teams. So, you know, it's making the NCAA tournament from a Clemson basketball tradition standpoint, has not exactly been the norm. So if you get in, you're still ahead of the Clemson historical curve. It doesn't matter how you get in. But furthermore, if you want to get in, you know, the best pathway in now is to win these last few games. Take care of business, win these last few games. And I think Clemson's going to win this game. Now, I do not think this could be like Pittsburgh. I knew Clemson would kill Pittsburgh. I knew that would be a double-digit game because Pittsburgh was a physically immature team that had hit a wall. Too young, physically immature. That's not what Notre Dame is. Notre Dame's not going to quit. They're not going to be just bullied. And so you don't have that advantage. I thought that Pittsburgh just didn't have any answers for Clemson. And so I knew that would be a double-digit game and said so the day before the game. I think this is going to be more difficult. But I still think Clemson's playing well. I think Clemson's playing well, and I still think feeling pretty good about themselves. Seminole Ted. Ted, how are you?
I'm doing good, Walt. How you doing?
Good, Ted. Appreciate you getting in.
Yeah, thanks. I tell you, I was really excited to almost watch Wake Forest take down Duke. That would have been something else. I'd have loved that.
Oh, yeah. Well,
they're limping right now.
Right, and of course, Wake Forest got the normal Cameron hose job in the last 4 minutes, which I wrote on Twitter. I said, we're reaching the point of the festivities or whatever at Cameron where the visitor automatically gets hosed over. And, of course, that happened with about 3.5 minutes left, ball clearly off of R.J. Barrett. Everybody saw it, clearly off of R.J. Barrett, and they gave it back to Duke.
Well, you know, one of your callers, I don't remember who it was, but he talked about how the kids that pile into Cameron don't even care about basketball. They just want to get in there and scream and yell at the top of their lungs for 2 hours. That was one of the smartest things I've ever heard one of your callers say.
Yeah.
I'll take one question off the air. What do you think Florida State's chances are in the ACC tournament getting a double bye? How do you see that setting up for them as the 4 seed? I'll take it off the air.
Yeah, I think the chances are good, and I think Florida State is a tough out. I mean, I think it's a good basketball team with length, talent, post play. I think this team shoots it a little better than some other recent versions of Florida State, but I still think that's always the question with Florida State. The question with Florida State is, do they get enough perimeter shooting to allow good, proper spacing for their post players? If you can give Kebigelli room to work by providing proper court spacing, then, and that means hitting 3-point shots. You know, again, when you're talking about court spacing, you want 15 to 17 feet, 15 to 18 feet between players. It opens up driving lanes. It opens up passing lanes. It makes it easier to run your offense. You don't want guys getting bunched together or being too close together. It makes them easier to defend. It cuts down on driving lanes. It cuts down on passing lanes. So one of the goals in basketball is always to have good court spacing. Sometimes it's not just what you do, it's how an opponent guards you. And so if you're Florida State and you can keep a defense honest, then your court spacing will be very effective. If you can't make any of the 3-point shots, then you're going to have guards digging down on your bigs and your post offense will be less effective. And Florida State it's just that simple with me. I mean, if Florida State shoots the ball well, I'm not convinced anybody can beat them. I mean, if they have games or a run where they shoot the ball well, they can play with and beat anybody. I mean, the question is, can they do that consistently enough to make a Final Four or win a national championship? I'm going beyond the ACC tournament right now. I'm not sure. I mean, I think they're one of the 8 or 9 best teams in the country. I really do. I think that's where they are. I think they're as good as any Big Ten team. I am still in the same position. I like individual players in the Big Ten. I like some of the guards in the Big Ten. I think it's going to be a tournament that has really elite guard play and some of it at smaller schools. But when I look at the teams on a whole in the Big Ten and the Big 12, I don't really like any of them. I mean, I'm not so sure the best team out of those two leagues isn't Texas Tech. And Kansas State, if they're shooting well, might be next. I'm not sure I believe in Michigan or Michigan State. I believe in Beilein. I believe in his pedigree and what he's done, but I'm not sure I believe in any of those teams. Let me tell you about Joe's New York Pizza, Patrick Square, Issaquena Trail. I'm craving Joe's. No one does Italian like Joe's. I've been to You know, Ramona, I think I've been saying recently like 43, 44. I started counting them the other day. I think it's like 42. I think it's more like 42, maybe 43. And I'm like an Italian food connoisseur, so I've had Italian food in almost all of them. And Joe's is incredible. The marinara sauce is where it starts. It takes them 8 hours to make that sauce. Mangia. It's like you died and went to Italian food heaven. They serve garlic knots. They stuff them full of hot melted cheese. And you dip those in that sauce. Man, it can't get better than that. And then it does. Then the appetizers come. The meatballs and marinara. The pepperoni twist platter. Then the entrees. The taste of Italy, a sampler platter. The chicken parm. The lasagna with beef and multiple cheeses. And then you get to the desserts, and if you still have room, all homemade. You know what cannolis are? It's incredible. And then the cheesecake is the only dessert that's not homemade. That comes from the Carnegie Deli in New York. That's the finest cheesecake on the planet Earth. I promise you. Get to Joe's. Bring the family. Bring the neighbors. You'll thank me later. Byron, I'm coming right to you on the other side. Texas says, great assessment of Florida State. So glad you call it straight. I think that's Seminole Tad. Walter Tiller, Road Rage. Quick, Brett.
Book your next party at Carson Steakhouse in Anderson with a large private dining room to suit all of life's celebrations, corporate and social group events. Host a family or school reunion to remember. Book your reservation and they handle the rest. Double fried chicken wings, fresh baked yeast rolls, hand-cut steaks, grilled teriyaki salmon, and fresh strawberry shortcake, just to name a few delicious menu items. Make your reservation today. Call 226-9400. Again, that's 226-9400. Carson Steakhouse, Anderson.
Granger Nissan of Anderson is the home of the lifetime warranty. At Granger Nissan, we are all about family, so we are looking for a play ball kid for every Clemson weekend home game. Stop by Granger Nissan of Anderson to register your kid. You don't have to do anything, and nobody's going to pressure you into buying a car. Simply come by and register your kid to stand at home plate and shout, play ball. You'll get 4 tickets to the game, and your family and your kid will get an experience they will always remember. Granger Nissan of Anderson, proud partner of the Clemson Tigers.
For over 30 years, one family has owned and operated Roto-Rooter, helping thousands of home and business owners like you. That's what they do 24/7, 365, with a real voice to talk to when your plumbing issues become their plumbing issues. Rest easy knowing Roto-Rooter is there for you, serving the upstate and western North Carolina for over 30 years. 288-7686, rotorooter.com.
Call Roto-Rooter, that's the name.
And away go troubles down the drain.
Message and data rates may apply.
Do you want to learn how to get started making money flipping houses right here in Greenville and Spartanburg? If so, we have an amazing opportunity for you. We're looking for a small group of motivated individuals to join our real estate investing team. You'll be introduced to our three-step system for flipping homes right here in the local area. This is Stan Merrill, star of A&E's hit TV show Flip This House. My team and I are looking for a handful of people in the Greenville and Spartanburg area who want to learn how to get started making money flipping houses in your spare time using other people's money. Greenville and Spartanburg are perfect markets for my system, and this week I'm holding a free 2-hour educational workshop where we'll share how to get started making money flipping houses and how to build long-term wealth with income properties.
To get 2 free tickets to Than's workshop, text your 5-digit zip code to 82,000. Seating is extremely limited, so text your 5-digit zip code to 82,000 right now, because this free ticket offer expires this Friday. Just text your zip code to 82,000.
When seconds count, a coach must have a team that can perform. The Tigers certainly proved that in the national championship game. You can expect the same from Priority One Security's local monitoring station. Break-ins happen in a matter of seconds. Well-trained, highly skilled operators' rapid response makes all the difference between a break-in and an attempted break-in. Trust in local monitoring from Priority One.
See us on the web at Priority, the number one, security.com. 888-407-SAFE.
Calling all commercial business owners, managers, and operators. Crute LED, an awarded Duke Energy trade ally, can help you save money on your lighting project. Our exclusive products are certified and warrantied for 5 years. Whatever your need, Crute has the right product for a simple and easy conversion to LED. Crute LED will verify your eligibility, calculate and award your Duke Energy rebate up front. Call us at 864-401-8156. Email us at sales@crute-led.com for more info on our exclusive products.
Former Clemson national champion Deshaun Watson wants to play football with you. Attend the Deshaun Watson Football Pro Camp. Kids in grades 1 through 8 can join former Clemson star on May the 18th at Clemson University's indoor-outdoor football practice facility. Register at watsoncamp.com. Deshaun will be on site and joined by area coaches to provide small group instruction on football fundamentals and fun. It's Deshaun Watson Football Pro Camp. Visit watsoncamp.com today.
The flagship station for Clemson football.
Ward takes a snap under pressure. Got him, and down he goes as Bryant gets his second sack.
We are WCCP 105.5 The Roar.
Gilstrap Roofing, 269-1232, 269-1232. You know, Ramon, I was over at Gilstrap the other day, and I had to make me a really fine dining room table. You should see it.
No, they don't do that.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, but they did make a wonderful triple burger with cheese in the works.
I wish they did, but they don't do that. They don't do that either.
No. For 80 years, Gilstraps have done roofs. That's right. They don't do garages. They don't do kitchens. They don't tar your driveway. They do roofs. For 80 years, the Gilstraps have done roofs. And we get unsolicited testimony on them virtually every day from people who are just thrilled with what Gilstrap did for them. We just heard it the other day. A guy called the show and offered his testimonial the other day. This is Gilstrap Roofing. You know, the one area of your home you don't check. You even visit your crawl space. If you have one of those. But the one area you don't check is your roof. And it's best for your health if you don't. And what would you check anyway? You know, what would you know? I mean, other than if it's really disastrous, you know, there are like holes in it, you know, or missing, you know, shingles and such, then you might know. But you could see that from your driveway. Other than that, you don't really know. You know how we deal with roofs, Rona? We keep our fingers crossed and we ignore the fact that our roof is 12 years old. See, that's a bad strategy. It leads to your house raining inside, like Ramona's did. Well, that may have been an outside source for that. But here's the thing. Gilstrap will give you a free evaluation. Take advantage of it, like so many have. And if there's nothing wrong, that's what they tell you. And they'll tell you exactly, you know, where you stand. Like the one gentleman who called us, you know, a couple months ago, and he said, you know, he took advantage, and Gilstrap, he was sure he had something wrong. This was James. And Gilstrap came out and said, no, sir, your roof's fine. You don't need to do anything for 3 or 4 years. So at least he had a time frame, you know, and something to go by. If there's something wrong, they have licensed insurance adjusters on staff. Get it fixed. 269-1232, 269-1232. Call them. Tell them I sent you. All right, let's get back to the Northland Communication phone lines. We have all sorts of stuff today, including the Finding Bigfoot stuff. People have asked about it, so we're giving you a little of it today. I remember yesterday, what's the guy on the text line wrote that we were just talking about?
That was Marty. Said he was just talking about it at the water cooler.
Yeah, that he was just talking about the interview with Matt Moneymaker.
How funny it was.
And I've had, how incredibly funny it was. And we've had multiple people ask for that. So we're actually going to bring you a little of that today. This goes in connection to, by the way, remember last night on television again, was when it wasn't basketball, was the the treasure of Oak Island thing.
The treasure hunt.
Shockingly, again, no treasure found last night.
None.
You see the equipment these people have.
Not even
the equipment these people have.
What do you call those little coins?
Yeah, you could dig to the center of the earth, but these people, with the equipment these people have, you could dig to the center of the earth, but they can't find a thing. Year seven. And they have this area called the Money Pit. The money pit. That's where the money is supposed to be. Oh, I know where the money pit is.
The money is in seven years of
doing the show. That's the money. All us suckers. 7 years. 7 years, all the equipment in the world. Every show's the exact same. You know, sit around the table. They go back to their little room and they have their little conference, you know. And they have like two things to show for it. Again, I could take the cheapest, crappiest metal detector on earth, go out my backyard and find more than these yahoos have found in 7 years. I don't understand what these people do for a real job.
That's it. That's their job.
Their job is not finding things?
Yeah, making it last 7 years.
Oh man. Byron, how are you?
I'm good, how are you, Walt?
Hey Byron, appreciate you getting in.
So I got two questions. All right, so my first question is, would you consider North Carolina to be the best team in our country right now, even though they beat Duke without Zion, and obviously Zion Williams makes a difference for Duke? And my other question is, last year, before Clemson won the national championship, they had three defensive guys who the analysts said would be a top 10 picks. So my question is, what changed from last year to this year for them not to be top 10 picks? I mean, they didn't have a downfall in how they played.
Well, on the first question, no, I don't consider North Carolina to be the best team in the country. I think North Carolina is one of the top seven teams in the country, but I think the two best teams in the country are still the two I thought before the year, Virginia and Gonzaga. I think those are the two best teams in America, and I think they'll play for the national championship, but we'll see. I think North Carolina has elevated their game to be in that conversation. I mean, I think that North Carolina is very good. They play a style that is unique to them. And I think they're going to be a tough out. I think they have a nice combination of youth and experience. So I think they're very good. In terms of Clemson and what analysts said, I think what you mean are some of these draft people, and those aren't scouts to begin with. And so, you know, what they say is not really all that relevant. And largely what those people do is parrot off each other. I think there was fundamentally a lack of understanding about certain things. There were a lot of people talking about Dexter Lawrence as the number one or two pick in the draft, and that was never going to happen, no matter how many times people said it, because Dexter Lawrence is fundamentally a two-down player. He's more of a nose tackle type, and you don't generally draft those guys in the top 10. Now, he is a freak, and so you have to evaluate that element of it. And for a team that can't stop the run, he might be attractive, but he's still fundamentally a two-down player. And generally, when you're comparing guys who are going to be impact players for three downs versus guys who will be impact players for two downs, the two-down player fails in comparison. So that was never going to happen. You know, and as far as the rest of it is concerned, listen, one of the things that maybe people didn't understand when they were making those claims is just how deep and talented this defensive line class was going to be. You know, this class, there were so many guys fighting for these spots that there's just a lot of competition in that group. And again, this is not to say that these guys still aren't going to be drafted highly. You know, they're going to be drafted about where I thought they would be all along. I mean, I think Christian Wilkins is anywhere from like 10 to 15. I think that Cleveland Farrell is anywhere from like 6 to 20. I think he has a little bigger range. I still want to see what he does in terms of running, et cetera. And I think Dexter Lawrence, I think there's still some flexibility and room with him as well. I think he really helped himself and opened some eyes in running that 40, even though he pulled up lame, because I think people actually got to see how a 340-pound man can move. And it leads to other considerations. In other words, maybe he can be more than what we initially thought he could be. Maybe he can be more than a nose because he has that type of explosiveness at 340 pounds, although I still think that's ultimately the position he's destined for. But you're still going to have those three guys who go in round one, and there's still a chance that Trayvon Mullen could go in round one.
Well, that was going to be my other question, because being that this year was a heavy defensive draft, do you think that it was a smart idea for them to come back and, you know, win another national championship and everybody else, you know, be in the draft? Because last year wasn't a heavy defensive draft.
You know, look, they took advice from obviously the people they trust, the coaching staff, I'm sure their families. They considered all elements. They certainly took advice from the draft advisory panel in making their decisions. And I think they felt like they all made the decisions that were best for them. I don't think that any of them hurt themselves in returning. I mean, I think the Dexter Lawrence story and the fact he wasn't on the field for the national championship game may have slowed his momentum a little bit. But I think he's overcome that now, and I think the further we move from that, the less of a factor that is, and to the point where I don't really think it's a factor at all. And I think that he helped himself, as I indicated, in the 40. So I don't think any of those guys were damaged by coming back, is the bottom line. I don't think any of them were damaged. I think they're all healthy. I mean, remember, Dexter Lawrence really had to come back. You know, he had no choice for several reasons, including class. But you know, he was off of an injured season. And I don't think that Cleveland Farrell or Christian Wilkins hurt themselves any. I think they're still fundamentally where they were and where they would have been. There is more competition, but I don't think they've been hurt by it.
Thank you, Walt.
Thank you, Byron. Those are good questions. Those are all good questions. Getting back to Clemson Notre Dame, you can get in 654-7627. Notre Dame's going to try and control the tempo. They're trying to make it a half-court game. You know, again, they don't turn the ball over. Any shot is better than no shot. You know, I still think this is a team that you want to try and push it against. You want to try and use your athleticism against. You know, I think that Clemson's actually improved their depth a little lately. You're getting more contributions from other guys. That may play to Clemson's advantage. Again, I don't think this is going to be easy. It's a game that I'm a little concerned about Elijah Thomas in foul trouble based on Mooney's versatility and that potential matchup. But I also think that Clemson's playing a better brand of basketball right now than they've played. I still think they feel good about themselves. I mean, look, you always run the risk of coming off that North Carolina game. How do you respond emotionally? How many of these close losses can one team endure before they just come out flat? I mean, those are legitimate questions, and maybe that's possible. But I think that they're playing well enough and getting contributions from enough guys that makes me think that you're going to get a good effort from them. And again, I don't think this is going to be an easy game. I think this is going to be a game you have to survive, and maybe this is one of those close games you have to win. But my expectation is Clemson is going to win. I think that Clemson will find a way to win this game, and then I think that they'll close by beating Syracuse. But, you know, first things first, this is the challenge. Again, well-coached. They're good at what they do. You know, they're going to try and make you play their game. That's why I don't think you can really allow them to play their game. I think you have to try and create some tempo, try and create some early offense, get some good looks against Notre Dame in transition. And I think if you do those things, I think you come away winning the game. And, you know, and the flip side of that is Mooney also has to guard Thomas, you know, so, you know, maybe you get him involved early and you see if you can attack Mooney on the defensive end and maybe get him in foul trouble. Maybe turn that thing around. You want to get in, now's a good time, 654-7627. Let me tell you about my friends at George Coleman Ford. Cars cost less than travelers rest. There are never any dealer fees or service fees in travelers rest. This is the way it's been for 90 years. These are real things. You know, I'm always astonished at some of the values that George Coleman Ford has to offer. They always come up with something new, and they come up with these insane prices on the world's most popular vehicle, F-150s, even 4x4 versions of it. You know, and I don't know what they have specifically right now. It changes on a weekly basis. You're going to have to check with them. But almost every time I've been up there, they've had at least one F-150 that was $12,000, $13,000, $14,000 below MSRP. This is George Coleman Ford. But the biggest difference at George Coleman Ford for 90 years has been the people. It's the way they treat you. It's the success. It's the key to success of any business. It's not a short-term approach. It's, you know, they're trying to do what's best for you because they know if they establish a relationship with you, then you're going to be a customer for life. That's how they win. That's how they win. And that's what so many of these other dealerships miss. But George Coleman Ford doesn't. And the thing is, at George Coleman Ford, it's every level of the business. Every level. It's the sales. It's the service. It's all of it. It's Kurt Shockley in the service department, 23 years. His wife's taught school in that
community for 33 years, this is what you get that you don't get elsewhere. They know you by name. They know who you are. They know what you like. They know if you want your coffee black. How about this gentleman? He writes, "It's been over 6 months since my car door was repaired at the body shop at George Coleman. I'm still very pleased with every aspect of my experience. Gary and everyone, including the guy who cleaned my window, were helpful and pleasant to work with. I was a little concerned about dealing with a facility over 30 minutes away, but I'm glad I did. The on-site car rental made it convenient, and I got the rental car I wanted. I'm pretty particular about paint color matching and blending well, and I'm very happy with their work." So this is a gentleman who somehow dinged up his car, who needed body work, and he took it to George Coleman Ford, and he was thrilled. He was over 30 minutes away, but he still chose George Coleman Ford because of everything he had heard, and he was thrilled that he did. Loved it. You will too. Go see him. He'll thank you later. Walt Tip Tula Road Rage. Quick break.
Join 105.5 The Roar for the Mark Childress Show, sponsored by S.H. Carter, co-host of the Tiger Tailgate Show and weekend sports anchor at Channel 7. Mark Childress interviews your favorite players and takes a hard look at recruiting. The Mark Childress Show, Saturdays at 9 a.m., only on 105.5 The Roar.
With over 8,000 certified pre-owned vehicles in their network, Henrik Honda Easley is ready to help you buy your next vehicle that will exceed your expectations. All their vehicles come with a warranty and your first maintenance included, and they even review repair orders with you to show they truly stand behind their product. Henrik Honda Easley wants you and your family to have a safe, reliable vehicle that you tell all your friends about. Check out their inventory at HenrikHondaSC.com. Again, that's HenrikHondaSC.com.
Life can be complicated from time to time. If you need a local attorney, Nick Lavery will help you navigate any issue, whether it's criminal, personal injury, or if you need help with a residential or commercial real estate closing. With over 19 years of experience and a former state prosecutor, Nick knows the law. The office of Nick Lavery is conveniently located in downtown Clemson. Ready to win? Call Nick today at 864-654-3680 for your free consultation today.
Join us at the third annual Big Splash Sales event at Clemson Marina. Kick off the boating season with the biggest boat sales event of the year with discounts up to $3,000 off select Veranda luxury pontoons, Monterey sports boats, and express fishing boats powered by Yamaha outboards. Enjoy local vendors, kids' entertainment, a catfish fry, and discounted drinks from the grill. We'll see you Saturday, March 9th at Clemson Marina, your authorized Veranda, Express, Monterey, and Yamaha outboards dealer.
Now that the cold weather is here, Craft Stove Store and Patio is ready for the winter with over 20 burning displays of vented and vent-free gas logs. Vent-free logs will heat for just pennies an hour and keep you warm and cozy even during a power failure. Craft Stove Store and Patio also features the new Radiant Heating Vented Gas Logs that have a real fire look and give radiant warm heat. Craft Stove Store and Patio, 3002 Wade Hampton Boulevard, Taylor's.
Craft Stove Store and Patio.
Message and data rates may apply.
Do you want to learn how to get started making money flipping houses right here in Greenville and Spartanburg? If so, we have an amazing opportunity for you. We're looking for a small group of motivated individuals to join our real estate investing team. You'll be introduced to our three-step system for flipping homes right here in the local area. This is Than Merrill, star of A&E's hit TV show Flip This House. My team and I are looking for a handful of people in the Greenville and Spartanburg area who want to learn how to get started making money flipping houses in your spare time using other people's money. Greenville and Spartanburg are perfect markets for my system, and this week I'm holding a free two-hour educational workshop where we'll share how to get started making money flipping houses and how to build long-term wealth with income properties.
To get two free tickets to Than's workshop, text your five-digit zip code to 82,000. Seating is extremely limited, so text your five-digit zip code to 82,000 right now, because this free ticket offer expires this Friday. Just text your zip code to 82,000.
If you are in need of a mattress and you love saving money, the Mattress Outlet in Seneca would like to invite you to shop their huge weekend sale starting Friday, March 8th through Sunday, March 10th. With our biggest discounts yet, save a percentage on select mattresses and you get a foundation free. We'll have our biggest selection available to choose from with options for everyone. You don't want to miss this sale. The Mattress Outlet in Seneca, located off Highway 123 across from Chick-fil-A.
Made from scratch food goes perfectly with ice-cold beer. And at Twin Peaks on Woodruff Road in Greenville, there's something on the menu for every fan's appetite. plus savory shareables like the new loaded tots topped with a sunny side up egg to satisfy the whole table. The perfect sidekick is a featured rotating tap served at a frosty 29 degrees in a 22-ounce man-size mug. Twin Peaks on Woodruff Road in Greenville. Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
The flagship station for Clemson football.
Dixon up the middle, crosses the 50, picks up a couple of blocks, comes right side, gets in the numbers, crosses the 35, 30. He's at the 20, he's at the 15, he's at the 10, he's at the 5, touchdown.
We are WCCP, 105.5, The Roar.
Wall tip to the road rage. Ramona just asked me what's so funny. I'm not sure you want to know. I'm debating it right now based on a tweet that I just saw Michelle post. I'm debating whether I'm going to tell this story. I'm debating whether I'm going to tell this story or not. Give me a minute. Matt Miller, who, by the way, is another guy who's never had anything right. I don't know what Matt Miller has ever had right. In the realm of people who claim to know something about drafts, I don't know what Matt Miller has ever had right. But regardless, he's writing the rumors out of Cleveland this afternoon are wild and huge. Something's cooking. Well, I mean, I've seen that elsewhere too. So I don't think it's an original thought. But I don't know what that pertains to. I don't know what that means. Is that one of the wide receivers? Is that Antonio Brown? Why would Cleveland do that? Is it Odell Beckham Jr.? I don't have any idea. Is it real? I don't know. The other thing is this. Adam Schefter tweeted this 4 minutes ago. Multiple teams inquired about Josh Rosen's availability at the combine last week. Although Arizona did not give those teams any indication that it's willing to move on from Rosen at this time, according to two league sources who spoke to the Cardinals. Well, that's interesting because most of the deals that are made are consummated during that time frame. So if Schefter is right, and, oh, by the way, he always is, because, you know, he's a made man. I mean, Schefter is connected. There are very few people I trust for stories or even follow along those lines. Schefter is one of them. I mean, he's the kingpin in that. As I said many times, I would not want to do what he does, but, you know, he must be on the phone 24 hours a day, but he's very good at what he does. So he's saying that he spoke to people who said that there was no indication Arizona was willing to move on from Rosen at this time. And again, if you were intent on moving on from Rosen, the time to involve yourself in those conversations was during this combine week. Schefter adds in a second tweet, though, saying that this doesn't mean that Arizona won't wind up shopping Rosen eventually. It just hasn't to date, as the Cardinals have not responded to the overtures that they've received from other teams while they're going through the draft evaluation process. I find that very strange. That what Schefter is reporting is not indicative of a team that is moving away from Rosen. It's not the way you would generally do things. Now, you have a new head coach who was a college coach, and I mean, you know, maybe he's not up to snuff on how things are done. I don't know. But generally, I mean, there were people who already believed that a deal for Rosen had been consummated, that Rosen was already going, that the framework was already in place. Schefter is saying that Arizona didn't even communicate with the teams that were interested in discussing Rosen. Which, again, to me, that is not the history of this league at this event. This is where deals are structured. This is where, that's where deals get done. So, I don't know, I find that very, very strange. Maybe it means that
that Arizona really does like Rosen. And maybe Arizona isn't as hot for Kyler Murray as we've been led to believe. I'm not sure. Maybe they have something else in mind. You know, look, it's always been conceivable to me that Arizona could just draft Kyler Murray in addition to Rosen. We've seen teams do that before. The Washington Redskins did it with RG3 and Kirk Cousins. It's not inconceivable that a team could draft two young quarterbacks because you have them both on rookie deals. And you could figure it out as you go. If one of them surpasses the other, or if you just want to draft one, have the other one, and then use that to trade them later. It's not impossible. Dutch says, I'll take Murray in Miami in a heartbeat. Well, I would agree. I mean, Miami obviously needs to upgrade the quarterback position, although, you know, folks who cover Miami, the writers, the chief beat writers who cover Miami seem to believe that Miami is going to tank the season. And I have never seen that as openly discussed by beat writers of an NFL team prior to a year beginning or in the offseason as I have with Miami. That has never been anybody's policy. I don't even remember that in the past. I don't remember teams and their chief beat writers discussing openly in the offseason the need and a team's apparent expressed desire to tank a whole football season. I don't know how the NFL could be happy about that. I mean, if that really is the plan in Miami, a sort of an almost built-in and immediate obsolescence, which is sort of an oxymoron. I don't get it. I mean, I don't get it. And allegedly, that's why they dismissed Adam Gase, because Gase wanted to win now. Gase did not want to go along with the tank plan. You know, he's a head coach. He probably doesn't want to intentionally put a 1-15 spot on his resume. You know, and then again, maybe he just wants to win. Because for anybody who's competitive, the notion of tanking just doesn't fit. It just doesn't work. And I don't think any NFL team should be engaged in tanking from the start of a season. I mean, I think it's sort of reprehensible from a competitive standpoint. And quite honestly, I think it says you're a loser. If you have a team that is intentionally tanking before the year even begins, then by definition, you're a loser. Winners don't do that. People try and get better. They don't intentionally get worse so that you can target some quarterback. Because let me tell you something. You know what's going to happen to you? You intentionally get worse to target a particular quarterback, and you can bet your bottom dollar that if you're able to draft that guy, he gets hit by a bus the next day. Because that's the way fate works. That's the way cosmic justice works for you. I don't get it. I don't get it. Texas says, but Cousin was drafted as a backup originally, and I seem to remember many experts thought it was a wasted pick at first, but it obviously wasn't. It wasn't. I didn't have any trouble with them taking two quarterbacks, nor would I have any trouble with Arizona doing it. I find Schefter's, again, here's what I'm granting. I'm granting that Schefter knows exactly what he's talking about, because when Charlie Casserly tells me he's something, I don't know. When Adam Schefter tells me he's heard something, I'm buying that. I buy everything that Schefter says he's heard. And if Schefter says Arizona has turned away advances, then I believe that. And I think then the question is, what does that mean? You know, Schefter's second tweet was a suggestion. It still doesn't mean that Rosen won't be dealt. It just means that, you know, they've been focused on the draft process. See, again, that's the part that doesn't make sense to me. I'm believing what Schefter says, but I'm not necessarily believing that second tweet. If Arizona has not engaged in conversations regarding Josh Rosen, then to me that means that they're not going to deal him. I mean, playing hard to get at a time frame where you're generally constructing those deals seems counterintuitive. Hollywood says, so if they're going to tank for 220, with who in mind? Tua, maybe? Yeah, they've even called it tank for Tua. Tua has some things to prove. I mean, for me, it would be tank for Herbert right now. It would be tank for Justin Herbert. I think Justin Herbert will be the number one quarterback in the draft in 2020, not Tua. James, how are you?
Hey, well, me and some guys today, I'm going to change the subject on you. We was talking about quarterback.
Yep.
You know, he was talking about Roger Staubach, and I said, you know, it pains me to say that being a Dallas Cowboy, I promise you, but I think Joe Montana are one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. And I'm going to ask you what you feel about that. I know you got Tom Brady, and I know we have Aaron Rodgers. But Joe Montana could beat you so many ways. I mean, they didn't have they got hit, they got slapped around, and he still found a way to beat you. I said, I think Joe Montana or Dan Marino are one of the all-time best quarterbacks I've saw. I mean, I think so. I was going to ask your take on the all-time greatest quarterback. And me and this guy was talking about it today. He said, well, you know, he kept saying Roger Staubach, but I felt like Joe Montana was the greatest quarterback to ever put on the helmet.
Well, look, I mean, neither of you are wrong. I think that both those guys are amongst the greatest quarterbacks who ever played. And I think Staubach is probably classically the most underrated quarterback who ever lived. And, you know, you have to remember, there was a little bit of a system. It was a West Coast offense. There was great coaching. Montana had unbelievable weapons on that football team. Everywhere around him. And remember, when Steve Young came in, Young was every bit as good as Montana when he finally got his chance in leading that football team. I think Montana is still one of the four or five greatest who ever lived. I rank him right with Johnny Unitas. I think he's the exact same guy. I think Brady's very similar to those two guys. The difference in Brady over those other two guys is that Brady had a stronger arm than Montana or Unitas did. But they were those.
That was going to be mine.
Those three guys all very similar. I have trouble separating Montana and Unitas historically. For me, it's Brady and Otto Graham, and then that's where I'm now at, Montana and Unitas. So I still think you're talking either number three or four all time.
But would Tom Brady be as good as Joe Montana in his era?
I think he would have been. I think he would have been significantly better because if you took Brady and you gave Brady the weapons that Montana had, which Brady has never had.
Uh-huh.
I mean, Brady has never had a receiver who was worth a crap. Quite honestly, I mean, he had Randy Moss for 1 year, and in the 1 year, he set NFL records with over 50 touchdowns. Yeah, you gave Brady.
Okay.
You gave Brady Jerry Rice and all those cats.
Oh man.
You know. You know, again, the 49ers at that time, because of the way the game was structured, Ed DeBartolo was able to stockpile talent, and he had, you know, endless talent. I mean, those teams were loaded with either Hall of Fame players or Hall of Fame caliber players. Brady never had any of that. Brady played in a salary cap era where the whole design of the game was not to create a dynastic team, and yet he was able to do it anyway.
One thing I liked about the old football, them guys could be injured. And they, man, they had
hold on, James. Hold on. I started late. Hold on. We'll be back. Walt Tip to the Road Rage. Quick break.
Another hour of great sports.